Well, we appreciated the thanksgivings, Lord's helping different ones. This morning I'd like to start in Hebrews 11th chapter and the 6th verse, Hebrews 11:6. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Thinking about the importance of faith, having faith, exercising faith and trust in God. You know, one place Jesus said, "According to your faith, so be it unto you." He said that many different times, "According to your faith." So we want to, says, "He that comes to God must believe that He is, that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." I want to notice now Matthew, the 11th chapter, and the 12th verse. It says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like the children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows, and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not." Now this is some challenging verses that I want us to consider this morning, because it was said, "The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." I want to couple this with another scripture in the book of Luke, the 16th chapter. It's very similar. Luke 16 and verse 14, it says, "And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it." So I want to notice, first of all, that repentance is actually a violent act. It's a violent act of faith. It's laying hold upon and seeking God diligently to get a hold of what God's forgiveness, God's mercy, the things that God has for us. In this verse, he said, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men." He was speaking of the Pharisees. But you know, that's a common malady of humanity, is to justify our actions, to justify our lack. And he mentions here, "But God knows your hearts," it says, and he says, "The kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it." That pressing is kind of the same thing. It's a violent. Some of the words that describe that, it says a forcer, energetic, to crowd oneself into, to be seized, to press. And I believe God wants us to be that also in our faith. He wants us to seize. He wants us to believe His promises. He wants us to pursue Him in faith. We know a lack of faith displeases Him. A lack of faith dishonors Him. And we fail many times through unbelief to receive what God has for us. And the devil works hard to get us to not believe. He tries to work a spirit of unbelief in us. But we want to lay hold on what God has for us. Whatever it is, we want to be able to receive. I want to look now at the woman that had the issue in the same gospel, Luke, the 8th chapter. The woman that had the issue of blood. Luke 8 and verse 41. It said, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood was staunched." Or in other words, it stopped. "And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, 'Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' And Jesus said, 'Somebody had touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me.' And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace.'" Well, this made it almost look like Jairus, you know, here they're on their way to his house. His daughter's about to die. But they're held up by this woman. Jesus stops. And all this time, this daughter is losing her life. That was probably a discouragement to him. But this woman believed that if she touched Jesus, that she could be healed. Now, I want us to think a little bit about maybe her circumstances. It said there was a crowd that thronged him. You know, there have been people killed by crowds and throngs of getting pushed, stepped on, trampled. But she made her way. Perhaps she felt weakness in her body from her condition, but she pressed against all those things to touch Jesus. And I think there are things that we have to press against also in our life to touch Jesus. Maybe we have some kind of a weakness. Maybe we have some kind of an infirmity that looks insurmountable. Or we have some kind of a weakness perhaps in our person, our makeup, our personality. There are things that would want to hinder us from reaching out and touching Jesus and making us feel like the Lord doesn't have time for you, or you're not that important, or your issue is not that important. There are different things that the enemy can bring into our minds that hinder us from exercising and believing and putting our trust and confidence that God can help me in my circumstance, in my situation. And she pressed, and she was able to lay hold on his garment, and the work was done. Jesus didn't even know it. I mean, Jesus knew virtue went out of him, but he never said, be healed. He didn't say anything to her. As soon as she touched his garment, the work was done. It automatically came through, and Jesus recognized the whole crowd was, they were thronging him. He had been touched, and that's what Peter said, what do you mean, who's touching you? But this touch was different. All the other touches, they were there touching Jesus. They were in close proximity, but this touch was different because it was the touch of faith. She had faith and confidence that if she touched the Lord, that she would be well of her infirmity. And the Lord did for her what the physicians couldn't do. They couldn't help her. And she rather grew worse. But Jesus, and she was in that state for 12 years. Now that can be a discouragement. You know, sometimes a long siege or something that's been a long time can be a hindrance to our faith, a discouragement. But she heard of Jesus and she went forth and she touched him in her weakness, and God blessed her. The virtue came through to her. And I believe we can touch the Lord through faith today. I believe we can believe in Him, diligently seek Him, and we can touch Him. I want to notice now Romans the 4th chapter and the 16th verse. Romans 4 and 16, it says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope. Now that's quite a verse. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it says here, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. He looked beyond himself. He looked beyond what he could do. He looked beyond his own strength. He looked beyond what he saw. You know, sometimes what we see hinders our faith. Sometimes the things that we see out there in front of us may seem so big. They may seem so gigantic. They may seem so unconquerable that it hinders our believing and our trust, our faith in God. But he says here, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He had been promised a son. God promised him a son. You know, Lord help us today. The Lord, He doesn't work on our timetable. He doesn't work on our time frame. But He keeps His promises. He told Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. But he was old. He was up in years. Why didn't He give him a son when he was younger? He didn't do that. He chose differently. He didn't give him a son when he was younger. Sarah was past the childbearing age. She was past the time of being able to conceive and bring forth a child. But God, He allows our faith to be tried at times. He allows us to be tried and tested. He allows things to sometimes go on. Lord, help us not to lose faith. Help us not to lose hope and trust and confidence, because God fulfilled His promise. He said, who against hope, it looked like there was no hope for Abraham. It looked like things were, the Lord had passed them by, that He had missed him. But the Lord knew what He was doing, like He is now today. The Lord knows what He's doing. But we will be tested and tried in our faith. But we don't want to allow the things that we see to discourage our faith and our trust in God. We want to continue on diligently seeking the Lord, diligently surrendering our hearts and lives to Him and giving ourselves to Him and keeping our eyes focused on Him and not our weakness and not on our surroundings. I know I was reading a book. I've been reading a book by Andrew Murray on divine healing, and he talked about, he said, don't look at your affliction. He said, keep your eyes on Jesus. He said, sometimes when we pray, it looks like the symptoms get worse. Sometimes when we seek God, it looks like things sometimes get worse than what they were before. But he said, don't look at those things. Keep your eyes and your heart upon God, upon Jesus, upon faith, about on His power, what He's able to do. You know, the Old Testament, we had that in Sunday school the morning about Zerubbabel. It looked dismal to them. It looked like, they said, we have no might against this great company. We don't have what it takes. But we know one that does. We know one that does have what it takes. When I look at my own sources, when I look at over a million dollars, whoa. You know, when he said that, I was thinking, by faith. By faith. The Lord can work it out. We limit God sometimes of what He wants to do by unbelief. We limit God. We can limit Him by our staggering at the promises. But He said He staggered not. He didn't give up on God. He kept living for the Lord. He kept trusting God. Though all those things were contrary, and those things that hope against hope. That's pretty challenging words. Hope against hope. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. You know, I think Isaac probably was a lot more precious to Abraham and Sarah because they waited so long for him. You know, they waited years. They received that promise years before. And I'm sure when Isaac finally came, they were so overwhelmed, delighted, rejoicing. You know, when something comes easily, it's usually not very well appreciated. It just, but when something has, when you have to wait on something and you have to put in to something, it seems like it seems to be more valuable because you've invested faith. You've invested yourself into it. But God blessed him. So we don't want... There are just different things this morning. Our circumstances sometimes can cause us to stagger, can cause our faith to waver, can hinder our faith. And we want to be strong in faith. We want to believe. Jesus, that scripture came to my mind about Jesus. He said, when you stand praying, believe that you receive, and you shall have them. That's what Jesus told us. He said, when you pray, believe that you receive, and you will have them. Now I know some things that we ask for are not good for us spiritually, beneficially. But the Lord will answer the things that we need, the things that will help us. He wants to fulfill those blessings, and He wants to fulfill our lives with His presence and His strength and His help. We don't want to stagger at our circumstances, the things that we see that are in front of us that look insurmountable. Everyone has those in life at one time or another. There are just things there that you think, I'm not going to get over this. It's just like a place of difficulty. The hill of difficulty. It's a struggle. Lord, help us to continue to have faith at those times and continue to trust in God. Another verse, Hebrews, the fourth chapter. You remember when they came into the land of Canaan, they saw the giants. They all agreed it was a land flowing with milk and honey, but there were giants. And they said, we're as grasshoppers in their sight. We're just... compared to them, were nothing, and their faith was hindered. And they wandered in the wilderness. And I know if the devil can get us, our faith hindered, we begin to wander spiritually. We begin to wander, and we fail to possess what God wants us to possess. But if we can believe and trust Him and act upon it, receive, believe in Him, knowing that He's going to... I can't dictate to God the way that He answers, but I can believe and trust and know that He is going to answer and that He's going to help in time of need and help. Hebrews 4 and 14, it says, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. I was wanting the one that says, let us come therefore boldly to the throne of grace. Yeah, that's it. I'd like to read verse 14 with it. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly. Now this boldly coincides with the same words that we've been reading. Violent, pressing into. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Lord wants us to come boldly, knowing that we have a high priest that's touched with our infirmities, with our trouble, our difficulties. I also like to... before this, when it talks about entering into His rest, it says in verse 6, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter in therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, so long a time as it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus or Joshua had given them rest, then would he not have afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. When we believe, we enter in to the rest. We enter in to the promise. We enter into what God has for us. When we touch by faith the hem of His garment, we're able to enter in to His rest. And I know there's different times in my life I look back and I've seen, probably sure you have too, the struggle with fears, with doubts, with unbelief, battling in your mind, praying, struggling, seeking God. But the thing that brings victory, the thing that helps us, is when we believe, when we come to that place of trust and we're able to commit it, ourselves, our situation, our circumstances into God's hands, and we believe. It's when we trust. That's when we enter into the rest that God has for us. And that's where we want to believe. That's where we want to be. We want to enter into the rest, believing that God has what we need. I believe this morning that God can meet every need of our life, the physical as well as the spiritual, the temporal, the emotional. I believe the Lord can meet all of those needs, and we want to come to Him in faith, diligently seeking Him, believing and trusting in Him, and He'll be there to meet those needs. But the devil today, if he can slip in those doubts, those fears that cause us to draw back, that cause us to stagger, it will hinder what God wants to do in our lives. I want to encourage us today. Let's be strong in faith. Let's allow our faith to be increased in God and hold on to the promise. In those words, it says, who against hope believed in hope. It looked like there was no hope. There was hope in God. And it's that way with us this morning. When it looks like there's no hope, there's always hope in the Lord this morning. He has all power in heaven and earth. In Sunday school, it was brought out so well about the nature being, you know, when the Lord works, there's nothing that can stop Him. Nature is in agreement with God. Nature claps. Nature gives way. Nature, the Red Sea parted. Things happened. The Jordan River stopped. When the priests put their feet in the water, which is typical of faith, they believed God. They put their feet in the water before they saw it. Sometimes we're like Thomas. We want to see before we believe, but it's the opposite way. We've got to believe, and then we'll see. Believe God and trust in Him. And I'm thankful the Lord today can help us and He can meet our needs. And I know we live in a time of unbelief. I believe we live in an age where faith is being challenged. We live in the spirit of our world today is an unbelieving spirit. And we want to go the way of faith. We want to be able to be strong in faith and have what God wants us to have. I appreciate your attention this morning.